Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Hey, ladies, Amy and Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Yes, of course. I am so excited to dive in to how you guys built your business, how your business has grown, and also you guys have such a valuable insight to share with my audience who are women looking to build their freelance business on one specific type of client they might want to be working with, and that's bloggers. You guys have such an expertise in that space. And so I'm just so excited to dive in and get your wisdom for all those ladies who would love to work with the bloggers and influencers niche. So before we get too far into it, if you guys could just introduce yourself and then let us know like how you got started in business. I think it's always so exciting and interesting to hear everyone's origin story.
Yeah. So I'm Jennifer Draper, and I first started in the online space back in 2013. I, in my previous life, had a very traditional job. I was an accountant and I worked for a corporation, you know, the whole 9 to 5 plus. And I wanted to change something in my life. So I had quit and left my job to homeschool one of my kids. And just with life circumstances, it became clear that I needed more flexibility in my life. Mm-hmm. And so rather than going back to work, I was like, what can I do? And I was inspired by someone else who had started a food blog. And I had always been an avid blog reader all through the years, and especially with recipe blogs and things like that. And she was sharing like how she actually made her blog into a business. And of course, as an accountant, that's my mindset too. If I'm going to spend the time and the money to do this, can I make money? And so I set forth that year, like I'm going to start a blog and this is going to be a business and I'm going to be able to have flexibility in my life to be working at home with my kids, being able to take care of all their appointments, things like that, but I can still have a career for myself. So I launched my blog. It's a food blog, all with slow cooker recipes, back in 2013 with that intention of creating a business. And thankfully, it has worked out. And Amy and I were next door neighbors. And at one point, I was like drowning in all the things that you have to do as a blogger because you're wearing so many different business owner hats. And I was like, it's time to get some help, to invest in some help with this blog. And so Amy and I were acquaintances at the time. I knew she had like an entrepreneurial spirit, you know, knowing what I knew about her, but I didn't know her well enough to walk up to her and say, hey, do you want to come work for my business? I did a Facebook post one day saying, I'm looking for a virtual assistant. And thankfully, she reached out right away. And that's kind of how our business relationship started, was that day back in, what year was that, Amy? 2015?
2016. It was early 2016.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah. So I was sharing actually on Instagram at the time. I had a completely different mindset. At that point, I'd had 2 of my 3 kids and was sharing a particular journey I was on at that given time. But just honestly, just doing it for community and connection. I think I was a stay-at-home mom and I had always kind of like dabbled in different things. So I mean, I'd done a numerous different network marketing companies. The most interesting thing I did was probably making burlap wreaths for a year. I made like over 500 burlap wreaths in 1 year. Oh, and my accountant was like, if you want to continue this business, you need to charge a lot more because this isn't making sense.
Yeah.
And so, but I then had started just sharing on Instagram just as a form of connection. And Jennifer, that's what she was talking about, knowing that I had kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. I was sharing online, but I had never really thought outside the box in regards to how I could turn that into a business for myself. That was not something, you know, in 2015, 2016, the influencer space was just kind of starting. You know, blogs were more prevalent then, but I'd blogged in the past and that was really, I don't know, the tech side of blogging was like really overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. Nobody had ever taken my hand and helped me do that. And so I didn't want to do that. But as I became her VA, I came on to Slow Cooker Gourmet to really help with Pinterest. That was my main thing, is she taught me how to make Pinterest pins and then she taught me how to pin them. So, you know, doing freelance work essentially for Jennifer as her virtual assistant. I laugh every time we say virtual assistant because I was her next door neighbor. But, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, virtual, you can work from anywhere, which is fantastic. And so it was great, but it did reach a point within about a year that I was still sharing. I was growing my community online. Jennifer had kept saying, you need to have your own blog. You need to have your own space. And I finally took that leap in 2017. And like summer of 2017. And then ironically, we started Spark in like December of 2017, actually. It was kind of a pipe dream that Jennifer had one day over a kitchen table conversation to share, hey, I really want to help other women start blogs and teach them how to do it. I thought she was nuts. I love sharing that part of the story because I was like, yeah, I don't know who's going to pay you for that. That's kind of weird. And within a couple of weeks, somebody that we knew personally had expressed an interest in almost the exact thing that Jennifer had said that day at the kitchen table. And it was like, oh my gosh, it kind of felt like this pivotal moment. Like, okay, I can either tell her that we can do this or I can like sit on it. And I just decided to be brave and bold and say, hey, I can actually help you with that. And we had Spark Media started just a couple of weeks later and our business has shifted for sure. But through it all, like we've both remained bloggers. We each have our own independent blogs and then we have Spark Media together. So we truly do understand like what a blogger needs from a blogging standpoint, but also how to help those bloggers get started truly, because we just think that people need a little bit of handholding in the beginning, you know, to understand how to get it started the right way. Because if there's one thing that we know is that nobody has an abundance of time. And so how can we make the most of their time and make sure that like, if they have this thing that they want to share about, or they're passionate, or maybe they have an education in a particular area, like how can we get it from dream to reality in the shortest amount of time to make that happen and give them the guidance that they need? And that's really what Spark Media is all about.
That's awesome. That's incredible. So you guys each have your own separate blog business and then work together on Spark Media. What is your blog, Amy?
My blog and podcast is Love Your Body Well. Okay. So it's a health and wellness blog. Yeah.
Cool. And Jennifer, yours is, I think Amy leaked it. It's Slow Cooker Gourmet.
Correct. Yes.
I'll have to look at my Pinterest board and see if I have any. I mean, because it's not like your name, so I would never know sometimes who, you know, who's the actual person behind the recipe. So I'll have to go look and see if I have any of your save. That's so funny. Are there a lot of like mom bloggers in your in-person community?
No. I mean, ironically, my daughter is at a preschool right now that there are multiple bloggers and influencers. It's kind of funny, but I don't think that's like necessarily the norm. But it is, I think it is becoming more prevalent, to be honest. I think people are seeing that by working at home in whatever capacity that you decide to do, that is a viable way to be the mom that you want to be more present, and also be able to contribute financially to your family. I know many of us are not in the situation that we can just stay home. Some are, which is a blessing, but many of us do need to bring in some form of income. And so there's often that tug of, you know, do I go out and make a living and a name for myself, or can I do that in the comfort of my own home while also being the mom that I want to be? And it's not just for moms, you know, it's also for just women in general who want to work from home. They want to have flexibility. Maybe they want to travel. Maybe they're still in school. Maybe they're doing things that they just want to have more governance over their time. And I think that ironically, I think the pandemic helped us realize that, hey, I want to be a little bit more in charge of my time, mm-hmm. and helped us like realize that you can really build these businesses at home and you can create the life that you want. And it is hard work and it is all of those things, but it's absolutely a viable way of earning a living.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the difference between like bloggers and influencers? That's something like you mentioned, blogging had been around for a while and then influencing kind of took over way. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when like I first started noticing influencers.
It was probably around like 2018, 2019. Cause like when I started on Instagram, it wasn't really like people, like I didn't have a swipe up. I mean, I can remember recording my first story on Instagram and being like, this is so weird. I'm just like talking into a camera and I'm going to like put it onto the dark hole of the internet. Like, this is so weird. Is anybody going to do this? And now like, you know, you're on stories every day or you're chatting and engaging with people in stories each day. And so it's a normal thing now, but I do remember that shift of like when stories came out and things like that, and you just started connecting in a different way with people.
Yeah.
I think that people kind of use those terms, you know, they think of it as something different. Like, I think when they're thinking of an influencer, they're thinking of someone who's on social media sharing links to products and services and things like that. I think that's the mindset of someone that's, you know, thinking of an influencer versus a blogger. You obviously have a website and you're sharing blog posts and content and information, and you're more of a teacher in that way. Overall, I think those things are kind of interchangeable. I mean, if you're a blogger, you're influencing somebody to do something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, many influencers realize, hey, I can't just be on social media. I need to have a blog. So those things really are truly interchangeable. I think that's just in our society, that's how we're thinking of them, is the influencer is the one on social media and the blogger is the one with the blog. But really, it all kind of works together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think something else that is kind of interchangeable is this idea of a blog and a website. I think a lot of times people think that a blog is, you know, the way that we think of it, it's more of like a diary or something. And that is how blogging kind of generated all those years ago. But it's really, you know, metastasized to something totally different now. And a blog and a website, those terms can be used interchangeably as well. If you have, you know, a freelance business, for instance, for like a lot of people listening here, like we would highly encourage you to have a website, to have a presence that people can go to not just put your entire business just on social media and trying to get clients that way. But if you have a website, like we truly believe it does help you gain that credibility. It's a place that people can go back to. If you do the right keyword research and focus on SEO, people can also like find you within like a Google search. And so that just sets you up for success in that way as well. And then you can have blog articles on your website, but you can also like, depending on what your service is, like you could just have your website be all about what that service is. So like, if you're a freelancer, like what does that look like? What does it mean to support, you know, a specific type of person, and make sure that you're speaking to that community and in turn becoming more of an expert in that community that people are going to come to. And so your website, your blog can just add that credibility to your craft, to your expertise. Absolutely.
So what does, I'm curious to hear more about like what bloggers are hiring for, what they need help with. I kind of think I have an idea, but I think it'll be really eye-opening to hear from your perspective and also kind of hearing what your team looks like. Whether do you guys have individual teams? Do you have a team for Spark Media, or is it kind of like one big conglomerate? What does that look like, I guess? Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
I can hop in and start here. So we do keep our businesses separate. So I have a team for mine. Amy has her structure, and then we have what we do for Spark Media. So I'll talk a little bit about my blog just to get started. And like I mentioned, you wear so many hats as a blogger. You're not just, you know, just writing blog posts, just creating content. There's so many things to do, from setting up your website to all the marketing things that you have to do to maintaining your website, creating the content, doing all the SEO research, you know, on and on. So I think where a lot of people start when they're bloggers is I have to, you know, pick something. I have to pull off one piece of this business and have somebody help me with it. And I think one of the really common things that people, that bloggers start with, is getting help on either like their Pinterest marketing or their social media marketing. Mm-hmm. So I would say the majority of bloggers, that's the first thing they hire out, would be somebody to create Pinterest graphics, to schedule their content on Pinterest, or to schedule a social media post. Because that's something that's really simple to hand off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be the first thing. And then as your business is growing and you're making more money as a blogger, you're able to start pulling off more pieces of that business to hand those off as well. So that can be any variety of things. It kind of depends a little bit on how you monetize. So if you have digital products and courses, you might need somebody with some technical expertise in setting up, you know, the emails. They might have to set up the course platform. They might have to do customer service for people that have questions when they're purchasing. So there's that piece of it. And then there's more of the content management. Like for me, I have somebody who helps me with my SEO research. That's all she does. So she's very good at SEO research. So she helps me determine what types of content would be helpful to my audience and would perform well on Google. I have somebody who helps me with copywriting. So I create the content, but she actually pulls it together and writes the posts for me. Because if I was to try to get all of that done, I would never publish a blog post because I would just be a complete bottleneck. Mm-hmm. And then just people to help even just with simple administrative tasks, like managing your email and, you know, getting rid of all the junk mail, just putting in front of you what you need to see, responding to things, just some of those simple day-to-day tasks so that you can focus. And that's the whole idea, is like you want to focus on the things that are going to make an impact to your audience. Mm-hmm. And so as bloggers, we have to start thinking about what can we piece out to other people to help us with so that we can create a cohesive team and have an impact on our audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I want to normalize too, if there's anybody who's a blogger who's listening, and I know that, you know, you're community is going to be different, because a lot of times we have to kind of more or less kind of, I hate to say this word, but convince bloggers that it's okay to hire help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a barrier that a lot of freelancers, if they could, you know, work that into their marketing, this is kind of a tip. A lot of bloggers feel like they're supposed to do their entire blog by themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's theirs and it's their baby.
Their name, yeah. Right?
Everything. So like the thought of hiring out this piece of who they are, I think it can feel to them disingenuous, or it might feel like shameful, like they're supposed to be doing it all. It's really important just to normalize that as your blog grows, your team likely needs to grow as well, because It is so much more than just about writing blog posts. There is a lot that goes into it. For instance, Jennifer's a photographer, but I have never had the time. I've been raising little kids since I started my blog. I have never had the time to like master that craft, nor have I wanted to. It has not been something that I wanted to do. And so I have hired out, like I will come up with the recipe idea. I will do the SEO research. And then I have a gal that when I want to post a recipe on my site, like I say, here it is. The recipes on my site are gluten-free. And so she's actually a dietitian with a photography background as well. And so she kind of kills two birds with one stone. Like I give her the idea. From there, she runs with it. She shoots the photos and she does the SEO research and writes the recipe. And so that took me a while to kind of get over that and say, like, I know that this is an area that I need help in. But really, it's also honestly a beautiful thing when you find somebody who can really help you in an area that you're not comfortable in your business. We went to an amazing conference last year that's put on by ConvertKit that I highly recommend to everybody. It's called Craft and Commerce. There was a lady there by the name of Bonnie Christine who shared something that has stuck with me for the last year. And that is leaning into your zone of genius and leaning into what you are meant to do and what you are really good at, and then hiring out when you can the things that you are not. And so for a lot of people who are in the freelance community, you might not want to be the face of a blog. Like that might not be something that you ever want to do. You don't want that. But maybe you're like, I really love the digital side of it. I love creating Pinterest pins, or I love doing copywriting for emails or whatever. I like being able to do it on my own time. There's a lot of really awesome things about freelancing, I think, because you are a bit more in control of your time. And so leaning into that and knowing that that really does add a valuable piece to a blogger's business, like it's invaluable. So don't be afraid to pitch to them, because a lot of them might just need like somebody saying, hey, I would love to help this area of your business. And they might just need that encouragement in order to do so, because it is a big step to decide, okay, we're going to bring somebody on or whatever. And my business personally has like kind of ebbed and flowed. And I want to normalize that too. So like, depending on the times in my business and my life, like I've either needed people or I haven't. I'm in a season right now that I don't have anybody on my team. I'm doing what I need to do myself, just based on life. So normalizing that too, but I hate to even admit it, but like we didn't have a team really for Spark until a year ago.
Yeah.
And now we look back and we're like, how in the world did we ever survive without a team? Like, it's crazy. And we're hiring out 30 hours a month. Is that right, Jennifer? Is it, or is it 20?
It would be
30
plus so, copywriting. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a full-time employee. It can be somebody who just, you know, works a few hours a month. You can start just with one thing. And I think it's interesting to see how you can see such an impact from even just a few hours of help in your business.
Yeah.
We felt like we were drowning. Because with each of our own businesses and the podcast and my podcast and then Spark Media together, and we have, you know, we have a course, we have a membership within Spark. We were doing it all on our own. And it was feeling a little bit like, hold on, I thought we were supposed to have like a quote unquote freedom-based business and we are anything but free. And so how do we do this? And so it did, you know, when we hired our first VA, it was for like checking our email and doing administrative tasks, like things like that. And you're like, are we really going to pay somebody to check our email? Yes. Yes, we are. And we are very thankful for her. That is just priceless, honestly. It just, it really does. It sifts through that thing. And there's nothing more, you know, overwhelming than like getting in your email and you have 600 emails that you have to go through on a given day. And you feel like you're dropping the ball. We were constantly dropping the ball, especially with both of us in email. There was one of us that was either not seeing something or whatever. So like even as a freelancer, even just offering like email management, like that is huge, because you know what gets lost through the cracks?
Emails.
Brand deals, affiliate opportunities, sponsorship opportunities. All those things get through the cracks because bloggers cannot like keep up with everything that they have to do on a day-to-day basis. And then you log in your email one night at 11:30 at night and you're like, well, that brand deal passed and I can't do that now because I didn't even see it in the first place. So that's just an invaluable piece that is so simple that, you know, that's like 20, 30 minutes a day max for somebody just to help manage email.
Yeah. You know, speaking of like ebbs and flows, I mentioned the other day, like the one thing I will never, ever, no matter how ebb down things may be, the one thing I will never take back is email, is the email management piece, because it's such a tiny details thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm not good at it.
Yeah. And I think that that's important to note too, like what we are good at and what we're not. I think it's good that you know, like, hey, this is my strength and this isn't, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like for a while, we did hire out our social media, like DMs and things like that. And that didn't work for us.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have things that you're going to try or different aspects that might not, but know that there are all these other ways that, you know, freelancers can serve bloggers and bloggers can, you know, bring somebody on. And sometimes it is just a freelancer saying, hey, these are the things that I'm capable of doing or that I'm willing to do. Mm-hmm. That's the big word there, is being willing to do. And like, just brainstorming, like, what support do you need? Maybe it's just like going over the day-to-day tasks that you do, and whoever you decide to hire, you know, is just willing to like learn that part of your business.
So I did a story this morning on like kind of just saying, hey, I'm doing this interview with two bloggers talking about hiring and working with bloggers. And like, what questions do you have? And someone wrote in, when they say they're open to working with a beginner, are they wanting you to already know the software and platforms and how to do these things? Or are they willing to provide that training? Can you guys kind of speak to that?
Yeah, I think it can definitely depend on like what project you're looking for. I know, you know, sometimes you might be like, I want to use this specific software and I don't know how to do it. So I want to find somebody who has an expertise mm-hmm. in that area. So that in that situation, yeah, you might want somebody who is already experienced. But when you do, you know, put out a call for help and you say you're open to working with a beginner, I think the more important thing is that that person has like the characteristics that you're looking for, not necessarily mm-hmm. that they know how to use WordPress or anything like that. Because with all the software we have available to us, it's super easy just to go hit record and record your screen and show somebody the step-by-step instructions on how to do something without having to be in the same room or the same town or the same country. Yeah. So I think those things are easy to train on. It becomes like you're looking for specific characteristics. Like it might be, hey, I want somebody that I can show them how to do this, and I know they'll communicate well with me when they have questions, or that they'll take ownership once they have the training that they need to take this and to suggest improvements or better ways to do things. So I think it can go both ways. But when you're open to working with a beginner, I don't think there's usually a downside in needing to train someone on specific software. As long as the person is open to like learning how to use it, then it really comes down to like, do your personalities work well together? And do they have the characteristics that you're looking for in an assistant?
Yeah.
Something I'll add here. We actually hired both of our VAs. Well, I think all of yours too, Jennifer.
Yeah.
All came from you, Michaela. Mm. So something I want to share, well, I think that's important because we found them all based on that database that you have. Mm. And that's how we found them. And we had like so many amazing applicants. Like we were really, really impressed. But one thing that I have noticed with the two that we have on for Spark is that they have said, you know, if they don't know it, that they're willing to learn it. And one of them has been like, she's new, she's a beginner. And she's like, I'm not going to charge you for that because I don't know how to do it. So I'm going to learn it. That way, this is a skill that I can give out to other people as well. So I can't remember what the exact thing was, but she's like, I'll take an hour of my time to learn that because then I want to be able to offer this as a service to others. Mm-hmm. So it's that continuing education piece as well. And I think just having that open line of communication, whether or not a blogger is willing to pay for the training or whether they don't want that to be included. Mm-hmm. But not being afraid, honestly, as a freelancer to learn new things, it's just going to make you more marketable. And there are always new things coming out in the blogging world and new things to utilize and new, I mean, you could like we use ClickUp, for instance, to help, you know, just keep everything organized. Like you could literally just focus on ClickUp and helping with somebody in ClickUp and that being your only thing that you do. So being willing to like take courses on that and learn and come to the table with new ideas. Hopefully you're going to find work with bloggers who are open to your ideas, who are willing. I mean, we're all in this creative space, which is awesome because we all think very differently and our brains work differently and we see things differently being in this creative space. And so I just know that we always really appreciate that when somebody's like, hey, I have this idea. I think this could be a really great idea for you. Are you willing? It doesn't mean that they're going to do it each and every time, but I think it is being brave enough to say, hey, I'm thinking about this. So I think for us, one of the big things, like as a blogger is looking to hire somebody in the freelance space, one of those big characteristics is just going to be the willingness mm-hmm. to learn to be a self-starter, to like actually be invested in your business too. Like think of yourself as more than just an hourly employee. You can be a huge part of this blogger's business and their success. Mm-hmm. And all that does is just turn right around and help you in return too, because mm-hmm. you're going to become invaluable in that person's business when you've proven to them that you truly care and that like when they grow, you grow. And I mean, that just helps everybody.
Yeah. I love that. When you guys were hiring, do you remember what like stood out to you when you get all of these applications from people that like could be great fits? Do you remember anything they did that really stood out and showed you that like, oh, this is a person I can tell is like an initiative or a self-starter? How did you like navigate who to actually hire?
So we hired two different people. One is just like a general like virtual assistant. She's our assistant who does our email. She sends out some different emails through ConvertKit with us. She'll do some like one-off projects. She'll do kind of different things. We hired a beginner for that. And the mm-hmm. main reason for that was cost. Mm-hmm. And she had just a lower hourly rate. And I don't know if that, I think she might've had one client at the time, but here's what I'll say. She had initially reached out to us. I don't remember how long it was prior. She had followed us mm-hmm. and had considered starting a blog, and she had reached out and said, hey, if you ever need somebody. So she had kind of planted that seed. We were not ready to hire a VA at that time. But That's then right. when we put the application out for like, hey, we're looking for somebody, she applied again. So her name was kind of like stuck in my mind, mm-hmm. quite honestly. And then we met with her and I was like, I think she's going to be willing to do what we want her to do. She's going to be willing to learn. She's going mm-hmm. to be willing. She's simply asking for somebody to take a chance on her as a mm-hmm. beginner and allow her to get her feet wet. And there was just a trust there. And maybe it was that connection that we had prior, could have been, but she's done a fantastic job and we're really happy with where it's gone. And so I would say like, don't be afraid, one, of being a beginner, and don't be afraid of hiring a beginner. Because there's beautiful things about a beginner too, is you can kind of say, hey, this is how we run the ropes here, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of train them in that way. And I think when that understanding is there, like they know they're a beginner and they know that they're learning, and you know they're a beginner and that they're learning, then there can be that mutual respect and one to be willing to teach and have constructive feedback that is not in a negative way. I mean, it's just going to help her grow her own business.
Yeah.
And then the second person that we hired was strictly for the use of Kajabi. That's what we use for our course. And Jennifer was drowning in the work of Kajabi. And so we really, really did need somebody who could come on. She works 10 hours a month to help us maintain like essentially like systems and technology. Mm-hmm. So anything that we need for like Kajabi or with different students, she can help us with that. Like she's going to start helping us with the newsletter, different things like that. So we had a very specific person that we were looking for with that. A beginner would not have been a good fit for that yeah. because we did not want to have to go through teaching Kajabi because it's kind of a beast on its own.
Yeah,
and so we were looking for more of an expert and somebody who felt very confident. And I think the thing that really stuck out to us about her is she was very direct, very to the point. Like this is a no frills operation. Let's get in, get out, get done. And sometimes Jennifer and I can get to talking.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I can get to talking. And so we needed somebody who could just be like, tell me what you need. Let me get it done. And honestly, we love that about her. That's like yeah. our favorite thing about her. She's very direct and like, hey, I got hours. What do you need? And she delivers every single time. And so we just had two different needs and we found people who fit mm. both of those. So I think it just depends on who's hiring yeah. and what they need.
And that person who's now doing the Kajabi and kind of an expert in Kajabi probably started out as a beginner VA at some point.
Oh yeah.
Was trained in Kajabi from a client, learned it somehow, mm-hmm. yep. loved it, and then grew to specialize in it. So no yes. matter where you're at, beginner experience, like there are clients that need your specific expertise and skill set where it is now. You don't
yep.
need to go learn to get started, or you don't need to think, oh, but I'm specialized here. No one needs that. People need a variety of everything. There are clients out there that need what you have.
I think that's a lie that we're told in this online space as a, you know, instead of influencer or blogger, I actually really like the word content creator, because that's mm-hmm. essentially what we're doing, is creating content. And I think that that is a lie that we tell ourselves there in this space and in freelance. is that you feel like you have to know so much more than everybody else about a given topic. And you're exactly right. You really just need to know like 1% more than the person next to you. And Spark is an example of that. Like I started blogging in August of 2017 and we launched Spark in December of 2017. So I like 3 months later, I'm like, yeah, I can teach you how to blog, you know? And so I think it is just being almost a little like naive and just going in and saying, hey, I'm just going to make this work and we're going to do it. I think you can overthink things. Yeah. I think you can sell yourself short when you overthink a little bit too much and just be willing to be a beginner. Like we all started as a beginner. Like we all sat down with a blank slate and said, I want my life to look different somehow. Like how can it look different? What can I do? I mean, taking this route, this entrepreneurial route, it is different. Mm-hmm. It is a different line of work. It does take a different like skill set. It does take a different mindset. You're going to have days that you're like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to work for myself anymore. And I think that it's okay to normalize that. Yeah. But knowing like you got to have a really strong why and remember why you're doing this. And I think that can help. And it can also give you some grace when you are in those beginning stages and you feel like you're working a lot of hours most likely and not making as much as you might want to right away. That is like, that you're just building this foundation for your business and for growth. Because even as a beginner freelancer, you know, you might start out by charging $20 or $25 an hour and you're like, I feel like I'm working so hard for not a lot of money. Well, you could become in demand and charge a lot more for that. And if you're doing a really good job, a blogger who needs that specific support in their business, they're going to pay you for it. And so be willing to learn, be willing to get in the trenches and serve in that way. And like, you just never know where the future could take you.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are bloggers hanging out? Like, what would be some great ways if someone's listening to this and like, I would love to work with bloggers. That's such a fun industry to get in and support. And especially like maybe I'm really passionate about nutrition. I would love to work with wellness bloggers. Where are like bloggers hanging out? What would be good ways to connect with them?
I think there's a few different ways. I think first and foremost, just becoming like an engaged member of their community in some way, whether you reach out to them via Instagram and just say, hey, I love your content, or sending in a heartfelt email and just saying, you know, hey, I follow you and this is why I like what you do. I know as bloggers, we get a lot of cold emails about how somebody can provide services for us. And so it's hard to sift through that. But if somebody can send a message and say, I follow you, I've made your recipe, or I've done this workout that you posted, you know, somebody that's part of your community, that's going to make so much more of an impact. And then, you know, a lot of bloggers, they hang out in Facebook groups and they talk about like what they need help with and ask for recommendations and things like that. So becoming maybe an engaged member of some of those blogging communities on Facebook could be helpful. And honestly, just word of mouth. Like if you get one client and say, hey, I'm looking for more work, most bloggers will share your information with other bloggers. It is that kind of a community, so that you can start to build a network of people. So I think if you can just get your foot in the door, you're going to see growth. If you're doing great work for one blogger and you let them know, I need more hours, I need more work. And if they can't give it to you, they're going to share it with a blogging friend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think in my course and program, a lot of women that do want to work with bloggers, they do start with those bloggers that they already follow, they love, they've been following for a while. And why I think they've had such great success in the direct outreach approach to them is because they have that background of like, I feel like this is my best friend because I've literally been following her and all of this for 5 years. And so I tell them, when you reach out, you need to share that. The email you send can't be something that you can copy and paste to another person and it makes sense. You can do that, but that's going to be the emails that get deleted, trash. When you can find that and find that genuine, something genuine and like that actually shows this person like, oh, they really are a follower.
I totally agree. I am one, like we live in this world of like, we're all connected, but we're not always engaging. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a follower, engage with their content. There's nothing more than getting an email from somebody who's on your email list. Hey, it might not even be honestly like pitching your services.
Yeah.
It might simply just be, I made this, my family loved it. It might mean leaving a comment on their blog. I mean, can we bring back some of that
give old some love to the blogs.
Instead yeah. of the like stalking, like I've been following you for 20 years, whatever, 5 years. And they've never like shared anything. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times I'll get a message like that. I followed you for 7 years and I'm like, you have never sent me a message or anything. Like I had no idea. So like be an engaged member mm-hmm. of their community because that helps them in a couple different ways. One, it helps them know who you are. But two, if you're engaging with their content, whether it be on their blog or whether it be on their social media channels, you're also helping them become more seen by others, which mm-hmm. helps grow their business, which helps give them more opportunities for, you know, monetization of their blog, which in turn means that they can hire you because they're making more. So yeah. it really is like this cycle of like, if we all just like took the 2 seconds and engaged with that person mm-hmm. who is making an impact on you, letting them know that, you know, bloggers also gain a lot of information off of the feedback of their community. And if you're following them and like something is making an impact, please tell them yeah. because it really truly does help them create more content that they know is valuable. And they know that people are like getting something from, because mm-hmm. sometimes it can feel quite honestly, like, am I talking to anybody? Like, yeah. I wish that somebody would talk back, especially as a new blogger. So mm-hmm. I would just encourage anybody like in the freelance space, you know, just engage with us, engage with bloggers that you enjoy. And we love that. We yeah. love the engagement.
That's awesome. So direct outreach, Facebook groups, and then
I mean, podcast interviews is another way. Mm-hmm. There are lots of different podcast groups mm-hmm. that if they have a VA business, I would have some recommendations that I would have. And I know, Michaela, you teach them this, but like having like a sheet of like, these are my services mm-hmm. and all of that, like a pitch sheet, but also like being willing to go on different podcasts. There are so many different ones that you could pitch services on. Like mm-hmm. you could be teaching on a topic, like why is this important? And mm-hmm. then I actually help people with this. There are lots of different podcast groups that you can go into and either inquire based on a post that's been on there or put your own post up saying, I am this kind of VA and I can coach on these different topics. So I think it's thinking outside the box that I know a lot of freelancers, you know, like to be behind the scenes, mm-hmm. but sometimes it might mean like putting yourself out there in a way too. And just showing people, hey, this is what I actually can do mm-hmm. for you. And this is why it's beneficial. I think answering the why in this content creation space is going to be really important. You know, a year and a half ago, before we used ClickUp, we didn't really know what we didn't know. And it took a podcast guest who came on, told us all about ClickUp. And we were like, oh yeah, we have missed the boat. Like we have got to get something like that in our business. And it's completely transformed. I can't imagine our business today without it. Yeah. And so that took somebody just being willing to train on that one specific thing mm-hmm. and for us to get a true understanding of what it was to make a huge impact in our business.
Yeah.
And it's how we communicate with our VAs. It's just been a game changer. And so I think podcast interviews are a great way to get your name out there, connect. And podcast hosts who are interviewing you also, they're going to remember you. Like, let's say that, let's just use ClickUp. Let's say like you're an expert in ClickUp and you help people with that. Well, when they have a podcast guest on, like, or other people that they're connecting with, because we're always networking with people, like that's the strength that you're going to be like, hey, I actually had somebody on the podcast who talked about ClickUp. I'm going to connect the two of you. And whether or not they need your services, they might need somebody that needs your services. So you just never know like where that ripple effect is going to land. And so don't be afraid to try different ways to connect and get in front of people that you might not otherwise be able to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then the other one, I remembered what you said, Jennifer, was referrals. Once you have one yeah. happy client, not being afraid to say, hey, do you know of anyone else who needs some support? I have one more spot or a few more spots left for clients.
And then absolutely.
That's going to do two things, either get you referrals potentially, or two, maybe that client is like, hey, I need you for more hours. Actually, can we increase yes. our package?
Yes.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Don't mm-hmm. be afraid to speak up. And then as we kind of wrap up though, Amy, we've been going for a little bit, but I think this has been so, so helpful. One thing you mentioned just a second ago, and I was like, oh, that's so true, is the idea of you never know where your business is going to go and how it's going to grow. And I think I fully believe freelancing is the easiest way to get started and the simplest like online business to kind of start. And once you get your foot in the door there, you see so many different opportunities and different ways that you can continue to grow your business, whether you want to grow it into an agency or have really premium services, or maybe you want to share more about something that you've either learned or something that you have a passion about and start a blog, start a personal brand for yourself. I just wanted to give you guys kind of an opportunity to share with those people who are kind of at that spot of I'm freelancing and it's great, but I think I kind of want something additional or something more. I've got a message I want to share.
Yeah. So we have several different ways that you can learn more about the opportunity of blogging. The first and foremost, the free option that you can check out is our podcast each and every week. It's called The Ultimate Blog Podcast. And we've been doing that for over 2 years. And so you have lots of content that you can search there just to see, like, is blogging something that I think I might want to do? You might have an idea about blogging that might not actually match what it currently is, because it does look very different than it did many years ago. So the podcast is a great resource just to kind of see more about who we are. But then we do have a course. It's called the Ultimate Blog Bootcamp. And in that course, we really help people from start to finish. We help them understand like who they're speaking to, what they are speaking about, and how they're going to serve essentially. Mm-hmm. And how to set up a self-hosted WordPress blog. That's what we recommend. Most people are wanting to gain organic traffic and build a blogging business. And a self-hosted WordPress site is the best way to do that for the majority of people. And so it's an online course that we also offer Slack support with. So you get Slack support and get that coaching opportunity with Jennifer and I. So a lot of people don't start blogs because of the tech side of blogging. It's very overwhelming. And the information online is great. You can get a lot of information online and it all contradicts each other, quite honestly. You can look up a lot of information that you're like, I don't know what to do. And then you wasted all this time just researching what to do. And you feel more, you know, paralyzed than ever. Yeah. And so what we really did is we took our combined experience and now the experience of over 150 students and put it in a course. And those people who take that course have a direct roadmap for where they want to go and for what they need to do. That way they have a firm foundation with their blog. So we help with everything from the theme setup to hosting to plugins. We also help them with just narrowing down what their categories need to be, how to write a blog post, some basics on SEO and keyword research, because that is an important component of blogging. And so, we just love doing that. We love serving in that way. It's Jennifer's idea. Like I said, a long time ago, sitting at the table was to take what we have learned about blogging and allow us to take the hand of somebody who is at the starting point and say, hey, let me kind of fast pace this process for you so you don't have to take 2 years to set up your blog. You can actually get it set up in like 4 to 6 weeks and be on your way.
Yeah.
Time is valuable. And so we would love to help anybody who maybe it's even just to promote more of your freelance business. Yeah. I would highly encourage you if you don't have a blog or a website component to your freelance business. I think it's an area that could definitely serve you very well. And we can help with that as well. It doesn't have to be like that you're sharing quote unquote like recipe content or things like that. I mean, websites and blogs can be about all kinds of different things. So if you're curious about like, I don't know, like if that is something you could blog about or not, please just send us an email. I'm sure Michaela will put our contact in the show notes, but we love getting emails of people like pouring out their heart and saying, this is my dream. This is what I want to do. I mean, every time we get one of those, we're like, yes, we just love having those conversations. It's so fun to be at the front end of somebody's dream and to hear what they want to share, to hear what they want to talk more about, and then helping them like kind of develop a roadmap about how they can do that. So we would just love to connect with you in that way.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned when we were just chatting beforehand is that like one thing I hear from a lot of people is I don't want to be on social media. Like I don't want to be showing myself on social media. You mentioned just because you have a blog doesn't mean you have to be on Instagram and be on social. Like you can, but you guys focus more on the SEO and like search engine side of blogging versus social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely teach the core basics of driving traffic to your website, getting people to sign up for your email list, those platforms in which you truly own as the base of your business. Social media can be great. It can be a great way to grow and expand, but we have students who don't want to be on social media and they choose to grow their business in different ways. So there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
No matter how you want to grow your business, but it is totally possible to do it in a way that feels, I think, genuine to you and who you are.
Yeah. And lots of different ways to monetize a blog too, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think that's how it's changed so much. Mm-hmm. As years ago, it was just, you know, writing content. But today, I mean, that's why I like to say content creation almost, because you can create an income in so many different ways. That is still our number one podcast episode, is how to make money blogging. Mm. And I mean, you can have ad revenue on your site, but if you're one of those people that hates ads on your site, that doesn't even ever need to be a goal. Mm-hmm. You can have your own products and services. You could create, you know, webinars or like online courses. You can do podcasting. Mm-hmm. You can do brand deals and sponsorships, affiliate opportunities. You can write a book. It's truly, the opportunities are endless, and it is just, you're an online content creator.
Yeah.
And so don't put yourself in that box of like, I can only like get up in the morning and only write on this website, and that is the only thing that I can do, because that can get kind of boring, quite honestly. Yeah. And that's the fun piece, is you can do all different kinds of things to generate revenue in blogging. And that's also the beauty too of it, is that what works for one blogger might not work for another. And so knowing that there are all different kinds of ways that you can gain traffic to your site, that you can increase your audience, that you can connect with people, and that you can serve others well, that's going to look different from one blogger to another. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Amy and Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today and share with us more about what bloggers and influencers are needing support with, and all these amazing suggestions on how freelancers can work with and connect with them. Thank you guys so much. Everyone listening, if you're interested in learning more about Amy and Jennifer and how they can help you, if you're looking to add a blog or start a blog, make sure you check out the links in the show notes. Have a good week.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.